And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and Dr. June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Hello and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry with Dr. T, one of your hosts. I'm glad you're listening and being with us. We now have part 4 of the Holy Spirit Gifts series. That is a study that I find in so many of our churches, we don't really look at it, we don't really discuss it. And considering everything that I feel and I see is coming in our country, I think that our Christians need to make the best use of everything that is in the Bible. We have with us Pastor Howard, who is going to share with us and teach us on that. There are previous parts, 1, 2, and 3, on this, as well as the previous teachings that we did last year on the Holy Spirit. All of those are listed at our website, and if you need to look at any of them, you're welcome to. You just go to truth2wellness.com. That is truth2wellness.com. No spaces, no numbers. And if you go into the menu, look at radio ministry or radio program, and go to season 3, you have different things in there, such as we look at Bible and science, and why Bible is applicable, very applicable today. And even I, as a scientist, I actually lean on the Bible and believe Bible to be completely inspired Word of God. Every word, every part of it in the original languages, I believe to be completely inspired. The order and everything, how it's written, I believe in it 100%. And so I think it's very important for us to understand where people come from and look at and study different parts of the Bible. Today we are looking at part 4, Holy Spirit Gifts. And before we do that, I would like us to just listen to a song here and reflect on the Lord in our life and prepare to study His Word. God bless you.
I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
so much fun, love this song. Definitely a song that touches my heart. All right, now let's start with part four and spiritual guest, Pastor Howard. Go ahead.
This week we're going to continue in the subject of spiritual gifts and look at tongues and interpretation of tongues. When you study the Word of God and have some solid grasp of Scripture, it's difficult to understand why certain scholars would teach that these gifts are not for today, not available, not accessible to today's church. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." The gift of tongues is primarily for the personal edification of the believer. We all need building up. Yes, we do. It would seem illogical, unkind, downright wrong that at a certain time in church history, this gift was withdrawn. It was unavailable. I believe that as children of God, there is always a real need in the area of being built up. I know there is in my life. And in addition to that, there are those times when we need to speak out the word of God, really what's going on in our hearts and in our spirits. 1 Corinthians 14:2. "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The same Greek word for groanings is used in Mark 7:34. "Then looking up to heaven, Jesus said he sighed and said to him, 'Ephrata,'" that is, "be opened." Some commentators would suggest that this sighing, this groaning, which cannot be uttered, could have been Jesus speaking in tongues for this man. I don't know. But it's an interesting point. There have certainly been times in my ministry when I have not known how to pray. And the only way I could pray is through this precious gift of tongues, bypassing my intellect, reaching right through to the very heart of God, bringing the need that's too big for me to express in my natural language, the very throne room of the Almighty. So then, this glorious gift of tongues enables us to commune with God in the Spirit. I firmly believe that tongues is normal for the Spirit-filled believer. I love what my pastor says about this. All may, some do, all should. Talking about tongues, all may, some do, all should. So if you want to be built up and edified in the faith, the best gift for you is tongues. It allows you to express your deepest, innermost desires and feelings to God, bypassing the intellect. Tongues are given that man may speak supernaturally to God. Tongues has been called by some our heavenly prayer language. You will recall from the early studies that Corinth was a carnal church. It exhibited division, party spirit, immorality, pride, and yet it was a gift church. Paul says they came behind in no spiritual gift. So it's very evident to me that the reason Paul wrote this lengthy exposition and explanation on the use of prophecy and tongues to the Christians at Corinth was that they lacked good, solid teaching. Not that there was anything wrong with the gift. Paul didn't say to them, quit using the gifts, no. He explained how they should operate the gifts wisely, correctly, and in love. Always, always motivated by love. Always to edify the church. Always to the benefit of the body of Christ. Sadly, there are some who would infer that Paul actually wrote to the church at Corinth to discourage the use of tongues. Such cannot be the case. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, "I wish you all spoke with tongues." And then in verse 18 of the same chapter 18, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue." Paul is very specific here. In fact, I don't think he could have put it any clearer. He was in no way forbidding the use of the gift, prohibiting prolonged and uninterrupted tongues in a public meeting. Whilst he wanted all of them to use tongues in a prayer language, he was making it very clear that they were in control. A verse we've already looked at, 1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. He was saying there's certainly no excuse for tongues excess from those who wanted to be seen and heard, to demonstrate gifts, but not out of love, but from a carnal motive. Just one point on this verse 18 and 19 again. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. What would Paul require Paul to say this to these people at Corinth? I don't think for one moment he was showing off, he was bragging, I'm better and more spiritual than you. I don't think that's what he was saying for one minute. Could it be that they thought he didn't speak in tongues because they rarely ever heard him? Hey, he says, just because you don't hear me speak in a public tongue doesn't mean that I don't exercise this precious gift. In fact, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So when would that be? When walking along the road, when in the prison house, in times of prayer, seeking the Lord, being edified and built up for what lay ahead. I believe that's when he was speaking in tongues. So Paul clearly teaches that we can and ought to control the gift of tongues in a public gathering. Sadly, there is an unfortunate reluctance in some quarters to accept gracious scriptural guidelines. Friends, the gift is ours. And when we received it, we may use it or misuse it. I love this quote by David Watson. He says, the answer to misuse is not disuse, but right use. Let me say that again. The answer to misuse is not disuse, but right use. Just let me add a personal comment here. I believe that there is a place, even in our coming together, where we can silently or even very quietly and gently be exercising this gift. Let's be sensitive to the Spirit. What we need to remember that is if a tongue is spoken out so that all can hear, it needs to be interpreted. We'll look at that later. So I firmly believe that the conclusion to this teaching that is that in the church, tongues are to be permitted, but that prophesy is to be encouraged and coveted and sought after and desired. Both gifts belong to the church, but prophecy is to be preferred. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Also, we see here that tongues are primarily directed to God for our praise and worship, expressing adoration, for magnifying the Lord, whereas prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort in the church. Here's another quote by one of the early Pentecostal pioneers in the UK. It says, since the temptation to display is very strong in these vocal gifts, especially this marvellous arresting gift of tongues, so generously distributed by the Spirit, we ought to be more anxious to guard and regulate it according to God's very exact instructions. So let's move on, because this is a big subject. It talks about the tongues of men and angels. Two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13:1 and Acts 2:6. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Acts 2:8. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because they heard everyone speak in his own language. It would appear that some tongues are human languages. Another quote from Horton's book of an ancient incident in China in 1927. Student Wang, recently saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in clear English. Those who walk with him in white and are faithful will ascend at his appearing. Behold, he is coming soon. How wonderful. And also in Nottingham, England, a few years ago, a West Indian of Pakistani spoke very clearly in Punjabi, Pakistani, to a gathered assembly. I was told this by people who I regard highly and a people of integrity. It's also clear that some tongues are of heavenly origin, tongues of angels used for praise and worship of God. The speaker speaks to God alone, speaks mysteries that no one can understand. Let me make another point here. Some would suggest a difference between tongues as an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, an individual prayer life of the believer, and tongues as a gift. I would say that basically it's a difference of purpose. One is to edify one's own spirit, and the other is to edify the church. So let's look now at the interpretation of tongues. There are those who would ignore or deny the truth of God's word and the supernatural, and who would abbreviate the gift, calling it gift of interpretation, and look on it merely as an acute sense of spiritual values, an unusually apt gift for unfolding God's word. God does, of course, give other gifts and abilities to men, but we must guard these specific gifts from those who question their validity and from every opposing force that will reduce them to the natural. We're studying here nothing less than the supernatural, miraculous gift of interpretation of tongues. It's not a translation of the tongue, rather an explanation of its meaning. It is the supernatural showing forth by the Spirit the meaning of the utterance of the tongues. It is not an operation of the mind of the interpreter, but the mind of the Spirit. Let me read this portion from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, Amen? Your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. See that those who speak in tongues are expressly instructed to pray for this further gift. This gift is to render the gift of tongues intelligible to others, so that the church, as well as the possessor of the gift, may be edified. It is obviously not necessary that every word we speak in private or in other tongues be interpreted. We are bypassing our understanding, bypassing our intellect. It is we as individuals who are built up and being edified in our prayer language. So read again 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is the conclusion to this? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and also sing with the understanding. How can anyone say Amen at our giving of thanks if we speak in tongues and no one interprets? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, as an individual, ever been uplifted, encouraged, comforted and edified when someone prayed? Of course you have. We all have. We're actually saying Amen, Amen. So let's move on. I'm persuaded that after careful study of scriptures that tongues is always addressed to God, and as a consequence the interpretation should also be Godward. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And 1 Corinthians 14:28, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Oftentimes when someone gives forth a tongue, we can feel praise, adoration, worship arising in our spirit. Can I simply suggest that's the interpretation? I thank God every day for my Christian heritage. I'm forever grateful for loving parents who trained me in the things of God, for the sound teaching of the Word of God, from my pastor, who was one of the early pioneers of the Pentecostal Church in Britain, and for the life of the Spirit that has always seemed to permeate our coming together. I've been truly blessed. However, I would suggest that sometimes our Pentecostal traditions become so entrenched, so deeply rooted, oftentimes without sound scriptural basis, that they become almost impossible to change. One such area is a so-called message in tongues. I would say that if you search the scriptures, you will not find the phrase message in tongues. And yet it was something I grew up with as part of the normal for the church. So let me explain. What I believe we are witnessing was a tongue and then a prophecy as an interpretation. Now the prophecy may be uplifting from a sincere heart and a real blessing, but we miss the true interpretation of the tongue. Another point I want to make here is that when there's a real danger, we can start out in the spirit and finish off in the flesh. In any area where you're stepping out in faith in spiritual gifts, there's a tendency to revert to the flesh because you're more comfortable in that realm. If the Lord gave you a word, just one word, don't try to make it 10 or 100. Just faithfully speak out that the Lord has given. From my personal experience, there have been times when I've received blessing to my own spirit from a public interpretation, from a public prophecy. But there's also been many times when I've been tremendously encouraged, uplifted and built up when some saint, obedient to the Lord, perhaps coming in fear and trembling, has come alongside me just at the right time and spoken to me just what I need to hear from the Lord. It may just have been one phrase or one sentence. In conclusion, can I say that I've been personally challenged as I've studied again the Word of God. I don't want to miss out in this area of spiritual gifts. I know my need is great in this area. I don't want to quench the Spirit or give any indication that these gifts are no longer in operation or are unimportant in my life and experience. I truly desire spiritual gifts in my own life and in the life of our fellowship. These are grace gifts. They cannot be earned or merited. They are the divine enablings. In effect, they're the tools for the job. They're not optional, but essential in every sphere of worship and service. Yes, sure, I can manage without them. I can also manage without an eye, without an arm, or without a leg. I can get through life. I can survive. But the Christian life is not a matter of getting through, surviving. It's a battle against a real and powerful enemy. And our God has given us the gifts, spiritual gifts, divine enablings to see the job through to its ultimate and glorious conclusion. God is still looking for yielded, available, willing channels through whom he can flow to a needy and lost world. God's awesome power at work through you and I. Beautiful verse here from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So that's a conclusion that we've talked about, vocal and inspirational gifts. So if you need further information, please go to the ministry website. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Howard. That ministry website is truth2wellness.com. That again is truth2wellness, all one word, no numbers, .com. If you go under radio, you will see season 3, which is where we are now, and there you're welcome to go ahead and click on the different shows. We had Pastor Howard before also talking about the Holy Spirit himself, and now we had him already. This is the 4th episode on the topic of spiritual gifts. I think this is very important for us to look at this, and I'm a little bit concerned when I see that church politics and different motivations come into this. Instead of us wanting to know and saying, Lord, what is it that you will? We seem to get caught up in all sorts of politics. But when situations come on that start to scare us, start to take us out of our normal situation, our normal routine, things like pandemics, sicknesses that we can't see. You know, you may have a gun for self-defense, but you can't shoot a virus. When we feel helpless, we can't do much about it. Yes, we can wash our hands and we can do a few things, but we still feel helpless because we can't see. Then it kind of starts to bring reality home. Maybe this should not be so much about politics. Maybe this should be more about us simply knowing where is it that God wants me to do and what is it that God wants me to know. I call this taking me to the river, forgetting all the politics, forgetting all things about myself. I want to be there where I can see Jesus. To that end, let's play the song Take Us to the River, and I hope you enjoyed this program. I hope that this was a benefit to you. Again, you're welcome to go to our website and listen to other programs and download. They're all MP4s, which are not very heavy. And I hope it's a blessing to you. God bless you all.
Lead us there in unity to sing the song of your salvation, to win this generation for our King. The song of your forgiveness, for it is with grace that river flows. Take us to the river in the city of our God, and take us to the throne room, and give us ears to hear the cry of heaven, for that cry is mercy, mercy to the fallen sons of men, mercy in that triumphed over judgment by the blood. Take us to the throne room in the city of our God. For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. This is the year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. This is the year of the Lord. Take us to the mountain. Lift us in the shadow of your hand. Is this your mighty angel who stands astride the ocean and the land? For in his hand your mercy showers on a dry and barren place.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.